The origin for the poem, the incident itself, occurred in Montana when I was on a vacation with my family, and I was walking on the edge of a cliff following a small child who began to lose traction in the loose gravel, and she was going over, and it was one of those slow motion moments where you see what's happening, and I just happened to be close enough to reach out and pull her back up. But I had been totally distracted walking along, thinking about matters back in Tennessee, dealing with Sewanee and things I was trying to do here for the writers' conference and for the publishing series, as I recall. And that changed my frame of reference rather dramatically. I pulled her back up, and then we went on. And then later, what the incident or the moment meant or the implications of it were clearer to me when I was less present physically but more present mentally to the event, and the way you sometimes are clearer as to what's going on when you have a certain amount of distance. The idea of the sublime, years ago I wrote a poem called, I think, Great Thoughts and Noble Feelings, and I was echoing the definition or part of the definition that Longinus gives the sublime. And there I was having fun with the idea and with the way we carry out our notions of the sublime, poking fun at the lofty definition some people give to a word such as sublime. I remember I had a graduate student once when I was talking about Longinus and Kant and Burke and other people and their definitions of the sublime. And somehow, in a playful moment, I said, "And so you know about the sublime?" And she looked at me and laughed and said, "Well, of course I do. I understand the sublime. I'm a married woman," which brought me back to earth. There's that sort of attitude towards such a subject. And then here in this poem, I think I was able to recover a serious understanding of the term simply because of the child's need, and her upraised arms were a sort of frame for everything out in the valley that is described, the romantic distance or vista. Part of the definition that Kant gives the sublime is when we finite beings, come in contact with some notion of the infinite, that would then entail some understanding of human need, and certainly this child reintroduced the idea of immediate need as opposed to the more abstract and distracted concerns that were occupying my mind before she started slipping. That, and then just thinking about the event, that moment when she was going over and there was no way for her to catch herself. As soon as it happened and I thought about it, I knew that probably there was something to that that I would revisit later in a poem. That usually happens with me. I don't have to write the poem then, but I know that there's something essential, that an event that has an essential quality to it that is going to entail a poem later on. Okay. Incident in the sublime. From the bluff, the world below looks miniature. But by what scale is something miniature? A few brown fields bordered by evergreens. Once, in Montana, a small girl slipped at the edge of a prospect, and a man walking behind her, distractedly lost, reached without thinking and caught her upraised arms. The mother was speechless, then grateful, but the man kept walking. Hours later, stopping farther up that mountain road, he stood a long time on a different ledge, not wondering at the inexhaustible Bärstadt or Kohl whose river meandered below, and not at the Turner miles away building the bruised fist of a thunderstorm, but at the immediate, upraised yet impersonal arms of a 6-year-old whose need could frame the entire list of it.